We're talking about deer because at the end of the month, the Tasmanian government is expecting to deliver results from a feasibility study on harvesting wild deer in Tasmania for commercial use. Across the ditch, wild shot venison has been harvested in New Zealand and exported for decades. Hugh Hogan spoke to Roy Sloan near Fiordland National Park on the South Island to see how it's done.
Red deer have been over here for 150-odd years. Wapiti released in Fiordland just over 100 years ago. And, of course, we have, like you guys, we have fallow deer herd, and then we have a tar and chamois. So, yeah, we have a long history of introduced animals in New Zealand.
And it's a conservation issue over there as well?
Yeah, it certainly is. I mean, most of our public land is conservation land. And, of course, we don't have any other mammals in New Zealand or animals in New Zealand other than bats. So anything that eats foliage in New Zealand is an introduced animal, really, basically.
And here in Tasmania, our government's looking at the possibilities of harvesting wild shot deer and using it commercially. And I believe that's done in New Zealand quite a lot.
Long story behind New Zealand deer. You know, we use them for farming purposes. So they were captured and farmed. Then there was a venison market become quite viable, so the deer wars around New Zealand for shooting deer and exporting them, and there was quite a lot of money made, boom and bust, for a lot of people. So yeah, certainly deer management in conservation land around New Zealand generally revolves around shooting, recovering deer for its venison.
Where are the markets for wild shot venison? Where do you send it?
Most of that stuff goes to Europe, in Germany, in that sort of area. You know, they have the unread deer over there, but unlike New Zealand and you guys in Australia, their species are generally natives and completely thought about and treated in a completely different way than our animals in New Zealand. So, yeah, that European, German market is where most of them go.
Where does it end up in sort of high-end restaurants, or is it just general supermarkets, things like that?
Yeah, a bit of both. It's in supermarkets and restaurants across the board. It depends who does. There's a lot of boutique markets out there now, a lot of guys specialising in certain cuts and bits and pieces, trying to get more money out of the animal than they had in the past. But again, we're competing with deer around the world, so like Spain and that all have big numbers of red deer. So when they get their act together, they kind of flood the market as well. So, of course, transport's a big thing for us, getting it overseas. So when them Spanish and all that get their act together and flood the market, we can't compete for price.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty volatile business. What happens when the cost or the price of venison is not worth going out and hunting it? Do people still go and harvest venison and deer?
Yeah, so in New Zealand, the biggest harvester of deer, even when there's deer recovery happening, is actually the recreational hunter in New Zealand. So, you know, if you look at when, say, deer recovery is at its best, you're probably looking at about 15,000 deer harvest in New Zealand. But, you know, there's tenfold of that for the recreational harvest. So when that doesn't happen, there's really only one way of controlling deer numbers on conservation land in New Zealand, and that's by the Department of Conservation paying to search and destroy them animals and leave them on the hill. There's no other way of doing it.
Wow, so while it sounds like a good idea, this commercial harvest, it sounds like a pretty tough game, and to maintain it, as you said, it's a boom and bust industry.
So it depends how it's done. And I mean, I guess one thing that people who have eaten a lot of venison or have tried venison in their life, there's two types of people. There's the people who harvest it, know how to treat it, know how to cut it up, know how to age it, and come out with a real high-end product. Or you get the people who have had bad experiences with it. So, you know, if you look at it in New Zealand, it's starting to get eaten internally around the country. So it depends on how it's marketed. I mean, Australia's a big place. I guess if you guys have a lot more mouths to feed than we do. So in New Zealand, there's boutique guys sort of specialising in certain cuts now start to sell it around New Zealand, and people are starting to enjoy it. And now here we have a product that's living on a land. It doesn't get drenched for worms or parasites. It's generally not living on land where it's been fertilised. It's living on land that's never been touched. So it's a purely organic product. So people are liking the thought of that, knowing where their foods come from. So, you know, as I say, it's getting eaten around New Zealand internally a bit more.
Yeah, I had a few venison pies when I was over in New Zealand. In terms of, like, actually harvesting the deer, even more so in New Zealand, they live in pretty inaccessible places. Is it cost-effective to get them back to an abattoir? How does that all work?
You know, if you're looking at a farming situation where the feral deer are competing with domestic deer, so a lot of deer farms are in New Zealand too, so when you can drive out the paddock, put them in a yard, put them on a truck and send them to your local abattoirs, compared to flying a helicopter, which are quite an expensive machine out there. And it depends where you are. If it's front country stuff in New Zealand, you know, you can do it pretty cost effective. But when you're flying, you know, in the depths of Fiordland and stuff like that, certainly to get it to the same stage as a farm does, you're doing it at twice the cost.
You're listening to The Country Hour on ABC Radio across Tasmania. If you've just joined us, we're speaking to Roy Sloan, who is the president of the Wapiti Foundation, about how they manage wild deer in New Zealand. Roy, what is the Wapiti Foundation and what do they do?
Fiordland itself is 12 million hectares of country. They call it the Amazon on top of the Himalayas. It's 8 metres of rain to 10 metres of rain a year. So in there's an area called the Wapiti area of Fiordland. So Wapiti are American gifts from President Roosevelt 100 years ago to the New Zealand people. And they're released in Fiordlands. And Wapiti are basically our elk. So Wapiti is an Indian name for elk. And we manage that area. It's around 175,000 hectares. It's all mountainous lakes from right out to the Tasman Sea. So Wapiti, even we get a lot of Australians come over and everywhere else around the world want to hunt Wapiti in Fiordland. I guess it's the bucket list for most hunters. So 20 years ago, we entered into an agreement with the Department of Conservation and the government on managing that area. So we're the first recreational volunteer group ever to manage deer numbers on conservation land in New Zealand. Each year we have to take enough deer to meet the objectives of our agreement, which state that deer control must be at such a rate that deer don't affect the fauna and flora in Fiordland. So that number is assessed every year. We set a target each year, which is generally around about 1,000 deer that we remove out of there each year. And we do it by recovery. So we try and subsidise that by export markets. And in the years when that market isn't around, we actually search and destroy. So that's funded by the hunters who hunt in there. They pay a donation each year. And part of the deer that we manage, we keep numbers down to protect the values of Fiordland, but by keeping their numbers down, the deer at a density where the Wapiti themselves are flourishing because there's more food around and the heads are getting bigger for trophy potential. So it's a win-win for everybody, really.
Yeah, it's working together there, like the hunters and the conservationists. It seems like a good balance you've got there that we could probably learn a lot from here in Tasmania.
It's one of these things. If everybody wants it to happen, it will happen. I guess we're in a world now that we're talking about the environment a lot, we're talking about conservation a lot, we're talking about all these sorts of things, but I guess at some stage we're going to sit down and look at what is also valuable to the social aspects of people, you know, and here we are in New Zealand. We have 250,000 hunters in New Zealand who basically live their whole life to hunt. And here we have introduced species that, unless we come up with some sort of bullet that will exterminate them off the face of the earth, they're going to be here forever and a day. So we need to sit down and think as a community, what's best for the community and conservation. And this is kind of what we've done in Fiordland. You know, we have two ends of the spectrum. You have those who hate it, and you have those who really protect it. And the answer for everything is normally in the middle there with common sense. At this point in time, we've got a bit of common sense happening in there, so we manage the animal numbers, and hunters accept that, and most conservation people in New Zealand are accepting that there's animals in there.
Roy Sloan, president of the Wapiti Foundation in Fiordland in southern New Zealand, talking there to Hugh Hogan about using wild-caught deer for commercial use and how they manage the deer there in conservation areas.